The number one job of any parent is to look out for their kids.
Sometimes mom doesn't let me use my tablet.
Well, that is part of looking out for you. Your parents want to make sure you're safe while you're having fun.
I guess.
That's what we want too. We're Lingo Kids, and we're here to help parents out. Lingo Kids is the number one entertainment platform for young kids because kids love it and parents can trust it.
What's it got?
Lingo Kids has lots of fun stuff that parents can feel good about, like songs and shows, plus activities featuring beloved Disney characters from Disney's Moana, Frozen, and more.
I love Disney stories.
Who doesn't? Lingo Kids has over 1 million daily users, so it looks like a lot of people love it already. Plus, when your parents download the Lingo Kids app, they can get a one-week free trial.
Lingo Kids!
Everything kids love. Download the app for free.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. 713-780 at ESPN. HRP listener line. What's your boldest Texans take? 713-780-ESPN. They're over there running around at Kirby.
It's always fun to win.
Football players doing football things on a football field. I love that because I love football. Football is right around the corner, ish. We're gonna start talking a lot of football. Our bosses, banging the table for us to talk more football. In fact, you made us talk more football this time last year. So I guess
we're
gonna have to do it again because we believe in consistency. So lots of football. Yay!
CJ looks good.
CJ, okay. What does that mean?
He looks skinnier.
Ozempic CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks good. I mean, that's...
Stroud!
I hate that kind of stuff.
He doesn't look chunky.
I just hate that kind of stuff.
He looks good.
Patrick Mahomes looks a little chubby. He's great.
I'm just saying. It's just an observation that he looks good.
He does. You're right.
Awesome weight.
You're right. My annoyance isn't that he looks good, because I've pointed that out a couple of times, too, on my Twitter, at Jeremy Branham. Give me a follow. Pound the follow button.
Just throw this crap out there to get clicks.
It's not clicks. I'm just asking for a follow from my friends. He does look good, though. Right, Joe. He does look good. My annoyance is more with, oh, look how good he looks. He's going to throw for 8,000 yards. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let's pump the brakes there. I don't even think the Texans want him to throw for 8,000 yards if he could. But we'll get – what's your Texans' biggest bold take? What's your biggest – bold Texans take. We'll get to that in a second. But Hannah and Cal, they were talking the other day because they went to play some golf. I bet you Cal shot a smooth 68. I bet you Cal shoots a smooth 68. Probably uses the old Texas wedge. Probably uses the old foot wedge. But he shoots a smooth. He rolls out of bed, shoots a 4-under. He could probably go win the Insperity Invitational tomorrow if he wanted to. But they were talking about these new jerseys they're going to have. They're going to have new rivalry jerseys, which they're going to unveil, I guess, like in August or something. But here were the McNairs, Cal and Hannah, Cal the better half here, about what to expect with these new kits.
You'll like them?
They're going to be awesome.
I know. I can't talk about it. I'll reveal it. And I know Doug's around here somewhere. He'll get upset. But I'm excited about it. I'm excited for everyone to see them. I think the date the league gave us is August what? Late August? Late August.
Yeah. So the schedule will come out probably in a week or so, and so we'll be able to share more details when that comes out.
There you go. They're going to be awesome.
They're going to be awesome.
He went Dickie V there. They're going to be awesome, baby.
They're going to be awesome.
Also, he's a 3D player. Drive, draw, dish. Mike Vrabel's a 3D player. So what's your boldest take for the Texans? 713-780-3776, Joe.
We're all going to hate the new jerseys. No, I'm just kidding. Because I love Cal McNair. They're going to the AFC Championship game this year. I've already decided.
Ooh. You've already decided?
Yeah, that's
so
my take.
So you think Stroud looks good?
I think the defense and the run game is going to carry them.
Should we bet on this?
Sure.
I mean, you have to give them pretty big odds,
stay
right?
Stay out of our business.
No, Brian. Brian's the mediator here.
No, Brian doesn't mediate unless he's asked to mediate a problem.
Well, what if Brian wants to
bring
in
the mediator unless there's an argument, unless
what
you
if he
ask
wants to...
for a mediator. Mediators are never brought in until mediators are either A, asked to come in the room, or B, it's part of a collective bargaining agreement.
Snake Branham over here.
No, you're the snake. You're the snake trying to slide into our brokering over here. Got a little third wheel trying to change negotiations. What if Brian wants to be part of the wager?
Yeah, what? I can't be part of the wager.
Not giving him value. I'm trying to screw him over.
I want value.
Snake Branham.
I wasn't thinking value, but I'll take value. That's a great idea,
he's over
Brian.
Here
thank
value
you.
Walking.
Give him just flat out, straight up.
I wasn't thinking about a wager.
See, thanks a lot, Brian.
You're welcome.
You owe me one.
I do.
Sheesh. No, I think the Texans can get to the AFC Championship. Like, I'm not ready to say that they're going to do it.
I am.
Like, okay, what if David Montgomery tears his quad in preseason?
Well, that's why it's a preseason take. I can walk it back if there's a major injury.
Look at Joe, ready to walk back his takes.
No, that's not. He's not going to lead the league in passing, C.J. Stroud, if he's hurt. I know how that works.
I think I'm with you. I think they're going to go to the AFC Championship game. I think they'll do something that they've never done in franchise history.
Then what would the wager be if you agree with me?
Well, I don't think that the value here. I can separate church and state, Joe. I separate my brain and my heart here.
Okay.
I do, like, you could probably get more than plus 200 for the Texans to make the AFC Championship game. My guess would be they're probably plus 450 to make the AFC Championship. So if I got that straight up, like if we just bet $100 straight up on them, you know, you have them in the AFC Championship, I have them not in the AFC Championship, you know what I would immediately do?
Actually bet on it?
I would actually bet on it.
Yeah.
And I would hedge my bet.
I don't see that this year.
I see plus 1,000.
That high?
For AFC Championship game odds.
I'm so mad at you that you blocked me on that. I was about to get straight up on a plus 1,000 value.
Yeah, it's plus 1,000.
Thanks a lot.
I think that's Bush
League Brian.
I think that's to win the conference.
It just says AFC Championship game odds. It doesn't say win it. Because Super Bowl odds are plus 2,000. It's a separate
Plus 1,000 sounds like to win it.
Yeah, that's AFC winner. Yeah.
Yeah, if they're plus 2,000 to you said they're plus 2,000 to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, just the Super Bowl odds plus 2,000.
Yeah, plus 1,000 would have to be to make the Super Bowl.
You might have hit it on the money there, Jeremy, then plus 450.
Yeah,
when you said it.
Boom. Yeah, I do this for a living.
There we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
Random reminds me of old school wrestling personality Jim Cornette. Who's Random? I don't know who he's talking about with Random. Junkie, because C.J. Stroud slimmed down, he's going to miss more games this season, and he hasn't any other season before. He has missed games before. I don't think they really want him to run, though. So if, like, he slims down so he can throw the ball better or, like, have a little bit more agility in the pocket, like, I don't think they want him to run more. In fact, his running numbers went way down after he suffered that concussion last year, which I don't want him to run either. Like, if you can extend a play, cool, but, like, get down, get out of bounds, don't take unnecessary hits.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see, like, mobile C.J. Stroud all of a sudden just because he lost weight.
Yeah.
I also don't want to see that.
No, I don't want him to. Yeah, I don't really want him to run. People are like, run the ball, Stroud. He also makes poor running decisions. Remember whenever he got concussed?
Against Denver?
He took an this one this past season. He got concussed against Denver this year, too?
I thought it was.
Remember the first time he was concussed? It probably happened in the Denver game.
Right,
he stayed
you thought
in,
it, and then happened next week in New York. But yeah, this year was in Reliant Energy against Denver.
Broncos have a they're probably headhunting Sean Payton.
Scumbags.
Might be.
Sean Payton's got Bounty Gate again
might
in Denver.
Be.
Unreal. But no, that was a terrible running decision by Stroud. Stroud like ran right into the guy.
Yeah, he had a lane the opposite direction.
I don't want him to run. He makes bad running decisions, and he gets concussed. I think the wager between y'all should be that one bet's only the AFC Championship game. The other bet's a Super Bowl appearance. Josh Pacific, stop being a Brian. Stay out of this.
Just call him a Brian.
Don't be a Brian, junkie. I would rather CJ look like Manning, throw a duck like Manning, and win games like Manning than he'll just look good. Yeah, me too. Boldest take for the Texans, Davis Mills is starting by week 3. That would be bad. Although it would be better if you don't extend him and he's starting by week 3. But that would be bad.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
So my biggest take is that I think David – I don't even have hot takes. I hate doing proactive radio. I hate doing predictive radio. What do you think's going to happen? I think the Texans are going to win 12 games. I like to react. I'm a reactor. I'm a counter talker. Give me David Montgomery top 5 rushing touchdowns.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Give me David Montgomery. You know who I'm kind of – because I do these fantasy – I do these best ball drafts around the year.
Yeah.
You know this. I'm kind of out on the Texans passing game to be like a high ball. Like, I think it can be efficient, but I'm out on the Texans passing game being high volume. Can be efficient, can be good, but no volume. And the reason that I'm with that is because, A, I think the defense is going to be elite. And then, B, I think the Texans have proven to us that they want to have a huge emphasis on running the football. So their game scripts, they're going to be in, like, you know, lower scoring than usual games. Their defense is going to be good. I think they're going to be playing from in front. I think they're going to be successful running the football. So I think their volume numbers through the air will be down. So I'm kind of fading C.J. Stroud as a quarterback, fantasy-wise, not real football, fantasy-wise. And I'm kind of fading all the Texans' pass catchers, except for Schultz. Schultz has good value.
Which is interesting because what inspired this was Mike Clay from ESPN. He put out he projected the passing leaders this year for fantasy and just for overall. He has C.J. Stroud second in the NFL in passing yards this year.
This is a fantasy guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, how is the game theory like that? Like, they're not going to throw the ball a lot, I don't think.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, that would be
everything they've done this offseason is to run the football. Every offensive lineman they've signed, they traded for David Montgomery, they drafted a dude in the first round. Everything they tell you is that they're going to run the football more on the offense. So I think they'll be a better rushing team next year than they were this year, which is going to have an impact on the passing game. And then what do we know about their Vegas over-under win total is 9.5. Mm-hmm. So that's Vegas telling you that they're going to be playing with the lead more than the median of the league, right? And then we know that their defense is still very, very good. That could potentially be the number one defense in the NFL. All of those clues, to me, indicate that the Houston Texans aren't going to have high volume in the passing game.
Yeah, I think you can even just go down just to the defense. It's going to be too good to have to ever be in those situations. Like you're right, like they haven't done anything this offseason to show that they're going to be out there just like ripping it all over the field constantly. It would shock me if he finished top two in the NFL in passing yards this year.
Like, let's say the Texans are just in your medium average NFL game, average NFL situation. Let's say they're always tied. They're never, like, you know, having to pass the ball. They're never trailing the entire year in this hypothetical. Are they going to be more of a running team or a passing team?
Running.
Relative to the league, because everybody passes more than they run. But relative to the league, they're going to be more of a running team than the rest of the league.
Yeah.
And then you add in game theory, over-under win total, Texans defense good. It's going to lower their passing numbers. So that's my take anyways. What you got, Brian? What's your boldest Texans take? Is there a day one at offseason mini camp?
I had to pivot because you kind of stole mine. I was going to go David Montgomery.
As I should. I'm
talent. The league in rushing touchdowns.
Leads the league.
Yeah, that was going to be mine. So it's a little bit spicier, but I'll pivot to Nico Collins' new career high for receiving touchdowns.
After I just said their volume's going to be low, trash.
Well, he doesn't have to catch 100 passes to have a new career high in receiving touchdowns. His current career high is only 8. Like, I think they could get down to the goal line and he could get to 10.
I think it contradicts your other bold take.
I think possibly. I just don't see a lot of other guys. I think I don't look at Schultz as a high touchdown guy. I don't look at Knoll or even, well, I guess Tank, if Tank is rookie Tank, then maybe. But
you're sleeping on somebody.
I just, who's that?
Jaden Higgins. Higgins caught 6 touchdowns in his rookie year. Higgins had as many touchdowns last year as Nico Collins.
Yeah, true. And part of this obviously depends on Nico staying healthy, which hasn't happened. I believe the most games he's played in the season is 14 or 15. So if he stays healthy, big if, I think he can get to 9 or 10.
Hope we're all right.
I mean, I could definitely see Higgins having more touchdown catches than Nico this year.
Higgins.
Yeah, Higgins, yeah.
I mean, the Texans kind of want to trade Nico, don't they?
No,
just kidding. I was kidding. Although, maybe Nico wants a new contract.
A little smoke there, to be honest.
Maybe he wants some money. What were you going to say?
I just don't know how that news gets out without someone saying it to somebody.
But, like, they didn't.
There's been noise on the streets that Nico might want a new contract here really soon, and that Nico's kind of reading the writing on the wall with these other contracts.
I mean, the report, though, to be fair, like, it was just that the Texans were getting calls.
Right, but how does the reporter find out they're getting calls?
Mm-hmm.
The only place they can find out is either from the agent or Caserio.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the teams that are calling?
Why would they do that? They give up leverage doing that.
Yeah, they would
lose. Like,
if Brian was calling you on a fantasy football player and I was calling you on a fantasy football player, why would I openly tell Brian that, hey, I'm calling on this fantasy football player? Because now the price of poker goes up.
That's true.
Thanks.
That's true. I don't think they're trading Nico.
I think there's a – I mean, I don't think Nico's on this football team in 3 years.
Well, I would lean that way, too, with the way that – what they've done with the contracts.
I think Casario is kind of one of those guys, though, that trades people before they leave for free. He did it with – he did it with Laramie. He did it with Titus.
I think they were just testing the waters. If they got a, an amazing deal, they would have done it, but probably came in under what they're looking for, much like the Astros of Fromber, and they decided, now we'll go ahead and keep him.
I mean, Nico's going to want a new deal probably after – maybe as soon as next offseason.
I would say next offseason would be time that he'd be asking for it.
Yeah.
He's got, how much does he have left? 2 years? 3 years?
It was a 3-year deal he signed.
He's under contract through 27.
Yeah, yeah.
Then, yeah, he's going to ask for a new contract next offseason.
He's got void years in 28 and 29. Yeah, he's going to want new money. And he's underpaid because the Texans locked him up early. I don't think Nico Collins is going to sign a new contract with the Texans. I think he'll be on a different football team when he signs his next contract.
Yeah, I mean, his dead cap next year is only $11 million, too. So if you did make the decision to move it next offseason, it's not like it's going to crush you.
No.
If
no,
they did it.
Super team-friendly contract. Super team-friendly, which is probably why he's going to want a new one. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. A few junkies here have some of their bold
junkie
takes. My Texans' boldest take is that the defense average is only giving up 13 points per game. It feels a little lofty, huh?
13 points per game.
How many was it last
year? That's a great point.
Cal likes it. Cal's a bird.
I think it was like 14 or 15 last year.
Yeah, it's not a crazy difference, but it just feels crazy to average less than 2 touchdowns a game defensively.
Yeah, the low last year.
Seattle, right?
That's offense.
It was close.
Seattle, I think, nipped them in the last week because the Colts scored a bunch with their backups.
Yeah. It was 17.2 last year for Seattle.
That's a pretty significant
big jump.
Yeah, Texans were 17.4.
Yeah, they're not going to go 13.
No, trash that.
That's too big of a jump. I think the better take to improve this junkie's take is that they lead the NFL in points allowed, which they almost did last year. Like you said, they could have easily done it last year. Do y'all have confidence in Nick Caley?
No, I do not.
Do you have more confidence in Caley or more confidence? That was not Caley. That was Slowick. Do you have more confidence in Caley or Stroud?
They're kind Stroud.
Of hand in hand. There's a lot of overlap there.
Yeah, but I would say Stroud because at least I've seen him do it before. Where Nick Caley, like, I wasn't impressed with last year's offense. And a lot of that's because of Stroud, like you said, the overlap. But I would say more confidence in Stroud.
Can one have success without the other?
Probably not. No. Honestly, I think they're a scheme misfit. Like, if Caley could draw up a quarterback in the lab, I don't think he would dial up C.J. Stroud. And I think if Stroud could create the offense that he wanted to play in a lab, I don't think he'd be Nick Caley's offense. I don't think it's a great scheme fit, honestly, between the two. I think Stroud wanted it to be a scheme fit. I think Stroud thought it might have been a scheme fit. Like, whenever he was griping about control of the offense and calling things at the line, I don't think that's his strength.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't think they're a good fit for each other.
Hopefully they can be enough of a fit where they can run the football really well with this defense, do really good. Texans D average 1.5 interceptions and 3 sacks per game. That feels pretty lofty on the interceptions point. 1.5 a game feels a bit hot, but hey, the Texans defense is awesome. Hey, hot Texans take C.J. Stroud balls out during the regular season, but then flames out again in the postseason, and then we're stuck in the pickle of should we pay him or not. Yeah, that's probably worst-case scenario.
That's exactly the worst-case scenario.
Because
he plays great all year.
Forever.
Yeah. Do you think the Texans want to run the ball more because of Stroud's performance in the playoffs? I think it's part of the reason, but I think the majority of the reason is because DeMeco wants to have a swarmy football team. Like, in swarmies, like, you know, he wants to be physical and tough and all of that stuff. Like, he wants his offense to look like his defense, and it's easier for the offense to look like the defense when they play a smash mouth running style than throwing it 35 times a game. He wants Rutledge.
Yeah, I think he just. I think CJ factors into it for sure. I just think, regardless of who your quarterback is, that he'd want to be a run first football team.
I agree. CI is terrible. I'm sorry. Look at the stats. Time to trade him after another terrible season, quarterback wise. What is the latest report on Tank? I think Tank's going to be around for OTAs. My boldest Texans take is that DeMeco Ryans will not be caught on a boat with a married reporter. That's safe. That was crazy.
Guys, good.
She was 7 months pregnant.
Where are all these photos coming from, man?
Like, who was sitting on all these photos and deciding not to put them out until now?
like, I guess people just, like, thought they were just, like, innocent photos and videos, but then they're just holding on to them for a rainy day, I guess. But it's crazy. It just, I can't believe there's video of this.
Yeah.
And paperwork, too. Yesterday it was the paperwork. Now, today it was the video.
Yeah, they signed for the boat together.
That's crazy that they would sign for the boat. Maybe they weren't. Maybe it was just platonic.
If we ever get the tell-all, I think I'm most fascinated. Like, they're having these long vacations together, right? Boating trips, the hotel in Arizona.
What kind of trips?
Boating.
Okay, that's not what I thought you said.
So what do you think? You said boning?
Yeah, I did.
Well... Yes.
I was like, I didn't know that Brian had that in his bag.
Yes.
I think that's also what these trips are.
Yes, I think both of those are true.
I didn't expect him to say that.
But I'm fascinated to know what they're telling their spouses why they're gone for these long periods of time. Where
I think it's pretty easy for a football coach and a football reporter.
I guess if they coincide with other things he'd have to be out of town for anyway.
My thing is, do y'all not share the same account? Like, you're not seeing where these expenses are going? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
where's
too.
The financial paper? Too. You said they both signed, so obviously they're both paying. Mike, why did you pay for a boat?
Like, Mrs. Vrabel might think, well, we have so much money, I don't need to look at
maybe.
The bank account.
She
daily.
Might not have any. It might be 100% true.
But Mr. Rossini, I wouldn't think as much. Just guessing.
They're saying Rossini was making $1 million a year at the Athletic.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
Right?
No wonder the subscriptions are so expensive.
That's why they're doing all this clickbait stuff now, too.
Yeah.
Everything they post is clickbait now. Fear-mongering stuff. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Let's do some Rocket Exit interviews. Brian's going to give to us a player that's coming to meet with Joe and I, and then we're going to tell that player what they need to improve upon to improve the Rockets as a whole. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9
HD2. 1976, D&M Leasing opened their doors with one mission, making a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than the old-fashioned way. You don't have to go to the dealership anymore. You don't have to waste your weekends there. It's been just hours and hours waiting for someone to come up and check on you and just get you through that process. Nope, you can call D&M right now, 713-290-1000. Or visit them at dmautoleasing.com. You'll speak to a salesperson who's been on average of 10 years, and they will walk you through everything from start to finish, and they'll get you that brand new lease vehicle within 24 to 72 hours. But again, you can do everything from the comfort of your own home. It's all DocuSign. You don't have to go anywhere. You can go on their website right now, see all the inventory of the new and used cars that you can lease right now through D&M Leasing. When it comes time, they'll also bring that brand new vehicle right to your home, your office, you're out at lunch, and they'll take your trade-in as well. Call them right now, 713-290-1000, or visit dmautoleasing.com.
ESPN 97.5. Back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
He's Joe. I'm the Huntington Bank bad boy.
Is that accurate?
713-780-ESPN. A couple of junkies heard what I heard with Brian and the trips.
Really?
Yeah. More than one.
Boating.
Huh?
Boating.
It sounded like you said it again.
All right. Okay.
I heard it correctly that time.
Yeah, I for about a week now.
He's playing hurt. He's a game. No mommy's wrist, but he's playing hurt, Brian. This. All right, exit meetings. You ready for exit meetings with the Houston Rockets?
I'm ready.
Brian's going to get this. We're basically the upper management here. We're the coaching staff, and then Brian's gonna tell
You're
us
upper
the player.
Now Joe is.
Upper management's not going to think fondly of this. Yeah, Joe's a suit upstairs. Joe's like the bridge between us.
Yeah,
t-shirt
I don't know if he's
guys.
An upstairs, but he's not on the ground floor.
Joe's like on the in the stairwell between the two.
Just deny those vacations next time they come.
I don't know if you can legally do that.
On the ground floor.
I don't know if you can legally do that.
Yeah,
honestly, I don't either.
Yeah, I'm
gonna try it.
Especially
that would
now
be
that you said it on the air.
Yeah, I think it'd be a lawsuit, Joe.
I'll just say we need you.
So go ahead, Joe. Go ahead and deny those
unavailable.
Things. HIPAA. All right, so Brian's going to give us the player that's walking through our doors. And yeah, we as upper management, coaching staff, upstairs, bottom floor people, are going to have a conversation, a hard conversation, because that's what these people do, about what they need to do in order to get better. All right?
Okay. All right.
And Joe, you go first. You're age over beauty.
He's younger than you.
Eh, he looks older.
That's not true.
713-780-3776. Who looks older, Joe or myself?
All right, I didn't know if Joe was responding to that. All right, first one walking through the doors, Mr. Overrated, Alpi Şengün.
Alpi, let's put some muscle on this offseason. You know, let's make it so when a guy who's 4 or 5 inches shorter than you, you can actually back him down in the post, and maybe you can also be effective against other big men in the post as well this year. Let's work on that. Let's work on the three-point shooting a little bit as well. I think that's what you need to work on this year, Alpi.
I don't really need him to be a great three-point shooter. I like where you're at with the muscle thing, though. Maybe eat some protein. He needs a real protein diet. He needs that. Who was that that guy yesterday, the lineman for the Steelers?
Gunnar Duncan?
Yeah, he needs to eat Gunnar Duncan's half of his food. Some
steaks. Yeah, maybe half of it.
Some chicken, some protein, some veggies, some good fruit.
10 pieces of toast.
I don't need him to eat carbs.
Okay.
I mean, he can get his carbs in his fruit. And his tomatoes and his salad. That's a good idea. You know, get him a little bit stronger. Because sometimes he can, I don't want to say he gets beat in the paint, like, offensively. But he doesn't finish great at the rim. So if he added some weight and some strength, I think that would help him. That's a good call. I hadn't really thought about that.
I mean, I think he does get beat because that's what the flamingo shot is. The flamingo shot is desperation. Is.
He tries to back somebody down, can't move him, and that's what he throws up.
I think that's more of confidence in his shot.
Like, yeah, that shot sucks. Get rid of that, too.
That's fine. I hate the flamingo shot, too. I've been on that for 3 years. Flamingo shot's a low-percentage shot. His shots, the shot selection. We go shot selection with good old Alpi. I don't know if I want Alpi taking threes, though. Like, I know it would help you with spacing the floor, and a men's not going to help you with spacing the floor, so if one of them could, it'd be great. I just don't ever think he's going to be a good enough three-point shooter.
I agree, but he rips them. So if he's going to take them, if that's not going to help in the shot selection, like, please be a little better at them. I'm not asking for 40%.
I don't think he rips them as much as you're thinking.
I feel like I see
How many do you think he takes a game?
It's not a ton. It's not a ton. It's less than three a game for sure.
It's 1.8.
But when he does take them, they're bad.
I think I'd rather. He shot 31%.
That shocks me.
I think I'd rather him just eliminate that.
That's fine.
Like, a lot of people want him to add it to his game because they think he can be like a volume three-point shooter at 35%. I don't think so. I think I'd rather him eliminate it from his game entirely. And then, defense. He's never going to be a great defender. I get that. I just think at times he can be a little bit lazy, not getting to his spots, and that costs him. So don't be lazy, Alpi.
That's all tough to work on in the offseason.
All right, who's next?
Next guy through the door, Mr. Amen Thompson.
Oh, Amen.
Take 300 shots a day from the mid-range. Develop a mid-range jumper, please.
That's not very modern basketball, though, The mid-range jumper.
If he added that to his game, like, at least when he does get stopped on the drive, he would have a secondary answer than jumping up in the air and just trying to throw it to someone.
Yeah. Maybe the elbow jumpers. I hear you on that, which is kind of a paint shot, really. Maybe elbow jumpers.
Like, work with Chris Paul this offseason.
Shoot the corner threes. I like him attacking the rim, but I feel sometimes when he attacks the rim, he kind of goes there without a plan. He kind of gets caught in between. Maybe instead of being caught in between, you just attack the rim, right? Like, and if you pick up a foul, all right, cost of doing business. But maybe you're going to draw three fouls for every one that you pick up. I don't like the little, drive to the basket. Oh, I'm cut off. Let me float in the air and, try to get a floater to fall. I'd rather him just aggressively attack the rim. And if it leads to a charge a game, all right. But I think he'll go to the free throw line more as well.
Yeah.
A little bit like Russell Westbrook tenacity attacking the rim is something I would like to see. Yeah. Not calling him Russell Westbrook. I'm just saying Russell Westbrook tenacity when he attacks the rim. That's good. Corner threes. Elbow jumpers, attack the rim like you're Mike Tyson.
Who's next, Brian?
We owe each other to fight each other. Elevate our life.
Amin likes to fight.
He does like to fight.
Amin is like to fight guy, which you kind
of
like.
Yeah, just yeah. There's a lot of players you could ask about that. Kevin Durant tried to come in, but Jabari pushed him out of the way, and now Jabari Smith is sitting across from him.
Jabari would never do that.
He looks up to Kevin
Durant.
He's a star. He thinks he's a star.
He looks up to Kevin Durant. He thinks Kevin Durant is his daddy.
What I would tell Jabari is everything you work on this offseason, don't dribble before you do it.
Yeah.
Just work on not dribbling this offseason.
Yeah, that would be mine, too. I hate when he tries to create his own shot. I don't think he's a creator. I think he's a shot maker. I don't think he's a shot creator. I agree with Joe on that. Other than that, offensively, I don't have a whole lot of beef. Like, get your shots up, obviously. I want him to be a better rebounder. I think it's 6'10". Oh, well, he plays on the perimeter. So what? Crash the glass. You're 6'10". You act like you're a dog. Go prove it. I want him to be an uber-aggressive rebounder. I think he can elevate his game that way.
Yeah, I think like that's the two, is just work on your shot without trying to create off the dribble to do it, and do get significantly better at rebounding this offseason. It's just a little stronger, maybe, for Jabari.
All right, Kevin Durant now in the room.
Hey.
Stay off Twitter. Don't call your teammates the R word. Be nice.
Is that asking?
I don't think that matters. I think we overrate that.
I agree with you, but what else am I telling Kevin Durant?
Maybe learn how to beat a double team.
Fair.
A year 20 in the league.
That feels like it's a little late for that, but he can try that this offseason. That's a good call.
Yeah, to me, it's more that. I feel like they put him in a bad spot, though. I don't feel like he's a ball handler. I mean, it's Kevin Durant had a great year. Like we said, Kevin Durant ruined this team. No, he didn't. If the people in the locker room are so soft that Kevin Durant's calling him mean things on text, they're never winning anything anyways.
Yeah.
If they're that thin-skinned and they're that big of babies, you're never going to contend with this team. If they're offended by Kevin Durant talking a little trash behind their back, then you have a bunch of soft babies who aren't ever going to win anything for real anyways. So that doesn't bother me.
No, I agree. Just I think maybe for his mental health, staying off Twitter might be good for him.
That's a fair take. That's a fair take there. Maybe it, helps his mentals. I got a therapist.
Thank you, Marshall.
I got a therapist for him if he needs. Hit me up, KD. I got a therapist for you.
All right, next guy through the room, Reed Shepherd.
Ooh.
Oh, man. Where to start?
We didn't trade him?
No, not yet. Not yet. Maybe we will after this.
Work on your defense.
Okay. Good luck there.
Work on trying to be Steve Nash, since that's what their internal comps are for you.
good exit interview there.
That's what they want him to be.
Try to be an MVP there, Reed.
That's what they want him to be. They want him to be Steve Nash. That's what they said.
That was reported. Hopefully it's not their true belief.
I don't think Ramona Shelburne would lie about that. Someone in the organization told her that the internal comps to him are Steve Nash.
Hopefully
eventually.
It was somebody on the business side, not somebody involved with basketball operations.
Yeah, hopefully it was not Patrick Fertitta who's calling the shots.
No.
Or Phil Stone or Ime Udoka.
No, Fertitta wouldn't. He's too smart to think that.
If you're going to be asked to be the point guard, get more comfortable running an offense?
Yeah, definitely the ball handling and the way that he reacts with pressure. I think he's very poor at reacting to pressure. So I would start there. More consistency with your shot. Like, you have 7 for 10s and then you have 1 for 10s. Mm-hmm. So more consistency there would help. Maybe shot selection with him, too. I think he takes some bad shots. And also, I think that his drive game's kind of subpar. Like, people chase him off the three-point line, and whenever he gets to the basket, he can finish. I don't think he finishes well enough. And then defensively, he has trouble. Like, he's never going to be this great defender. I think he gambles too much. I think he's caught. I think over the course of his life, he's probably known he's not a great defender, so he's going to go for, steals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it puts him in bad positioning. And you hear Ime talk about it a lot. He's like, Ime. Or he's like Reed, oftentimes going for strips, going for steals, and it puts him in a bad spot, just to mark his defender or the guy he's defending. So I would say there, just be a little bit smarter on the defensive end. Know you have limitations. Don't, lose your mind trying to go for steals and stuff like that. A couple of texts. Ocho says there's only one way to improve the Rockets as a whole, except the fact that this core is a failure. Blow it up completely and start over, including your beloved Amin Thompson. Ocho hates subpar basketball, though, or subpar offensive basketball. So not surprised by that. I think Alpi's about the same size as Akeem. Yeah, but their body makeup's a lot different. Akeem still doesn't have any body fat. and he's just ripped. Alpi could post up Matthew McConaughey's character from Dallas Buyers Club and still not get to the rim. That's kind of mean. I don't know why you pulled that or how you pulled that. The movie's 20 years old. For a man, he needs a floater that will make him elite. See, I think a floater's kind of passive for his style of play. I want him just aggressively attacking the rim. I don't want him to have a floater. Durant needs to be a catch-and-shoot guy like Jabari. That's probably more on the coaching staff than Durant, though. They're asking him to handle the ball. Durant is awesome, signed Durant. You're right. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Philip, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Philip?
Hey, guys. I think the fundamental problem on offense is beyond the fact that they don't seem to ever have a plan. It's just roll the ball out there and somebody do something. The spacing issue with Şengün and Amen on the floor at the same time, I think one or both of them need to become a three-point shooter. I think Şengün's closer to that than Amen. And I'm not saying he needs to be an elite one, just good enough that the defender has to guard it. So yeah. Maybe 33-34% where if I leave him wide open, that 33-34% becomes more like 38-39%. So I got to run out there and guard him at least, and that creates a spacing. I do like how the offense flows better when Reed is getting some dribble penetration into the paint. But if they can go, they need to get, when Şengün is on the floor, if they're going to post him up, they really need four shooters on the floor with him. So I think they need to run more sets where Amen's on the bench. They need to go down low into Şengün while they got shooters in the game. And vice versa, Amen's in there. Let's get Şengün out of there and go small and play Jabari at the five and let him get some dribble penetration and play it small. So there's not like a rhyme or reason. They don't look at the personnel they have and go, when we have these guys, here's the plan, and attack the game in different ways. It's just like, we're going to defer to Şengün or we're going to defer to Durant because they're the guys. And they're going to figure it out, and we just need to get open. It seems almost like playground ball. There's no rhyme or reason, anything. So I would like to see a little more organization to it and the spacing. I mean, I think Amen would be easier to get a three-pointer in the corner, like develop that, than an elbow jumper. Just because if you're catching and shooting, that's to me more of a rhythm kind of thing where you can practice that better versus, hey, I'm coming off the dribble now, I'm doing it. An elbow, and I got a guy in my face, and it, to me, that's a little harder repetition-wise to develop consistency than just catch, shoot from the corner. So I think that's probably an area for him more so than the elbow, just the, you know, general disagreement there. And then Şengün, just, again, I would have him where, hey, if he can get there in an off season where you think he could be like a 34-35% guy in the regular season, great. And if he's not showing that in camp, then don't use it. So, not hard. So, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Philip. Yeah, I mean, like, I would prefer Amen to be the one that develops somewhat of a three-point shot, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't love the idea of Alpi shooting. I get where Philip's coming from, and he's right. Yeah. Like, if Alpi was a 38-39% three-point shooter and they had to respect his three-point shot, it would help the spacing of this team. Completely agree with that take. I just don't think Alpi can ever do that. So because I don't think he could ever do that, I don't want him to be that guy. So maybe it's just a different viewpoint on if we think Alpi can get there or not. But I agree with his, you know, basketball philosophy. Totally agree with that. The Amen stuff, we said the corner three and the elbow jumper. And come on, like, Philip, like, they can work with jump shots off the dribble. Like, they do work on this. Like, guys that play basketball work on shooting off the dribble. It's just as easy as catching and shooting from three. Catch the ball, a couple dribbles, get to your spot, pull up and shoot. They work on that. And actually, Amen's a better he's a better jump shooter from the elbows than he is the corners currently. He can make an elbow jumper. You know, he knocks down a corner jumper every now and then, but not that often. Other than that, I agree with everything else that that Philip said. Shooting off the dribble, though, come on. Like, they practice that.
Yeah,
they're pro basketball players. They practice every single game shot they take. They shoot thousands of them.
He's not super good at it.
No, he's not super good at it. 713-780-ESPN. I don't know if this is basketball related, but let's go out to the HRP listener line. Milo on a mobile. What's up, Milo?
Hello, HRP. Are you listening?
Hey.
Hello.
Hello, Milo.
Hello.
Hello, Milo.
Hey, speaking of hello,
I want to put a blue star on your show today, Pally. It's real good.
Thanks, Milo.
Thanks, Milo.
You know, and by the way, it's something that's not very good. I'm going to get down to it. We're 15-23, Pally. And when you're 8 games under, that means you're more than 6 feet under. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're down there, you might want to say to yourself a little prayer, maybe a little serenity. We're out of control. Maybe we need to relinquish control. Maybe find yourself something and say, hey, I'm not going to make it. We need help. There is no help, though, folks. That's it. We are out of it. Mr. Crane, close the door.
Thanks, Milo. Appreciate it. Nope, oh, he's not done. Milo's not done.
He's going to go forever.
I just want to do something here for John Sterling, R.I.P. John Sterling. I'll never forget. He was up there in his final days. He was calling the game. He took a foul ball right off the face, and he, And I thought to myself, you know, John Sterling could use a high back chair. Because when the foul ball's coming in, instead of just turn the chair around, it's the point of the captain's chair. It's multifunctional. Not only does it make you look like you're in charge, but it's also a form of a defense when a foul ball's coming into the glass. Speaking of defense, whenever a foul ball would come in, I would pick up my old briefcase from the Sox era, pick it up, hold it up. It'll deflect the foul ball.
Whoa. All right, Milo, appreciate you. Have a good one, Milo. Good to hear from you. 6 feet from the grave. Are the Astros as dead as Milo? 713-780-3776. Just kidding. That's not a real tease. Let's do a Will of Bits, though. Never know what you're going to get.
You're back really with good. Jeremy and Joe, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great food debate? Jeremy being a giant buzzkill? Joe trying to do math? Carry the one, Joe. Carry the one. Or maybe they'll recklessly label people as casuals. Let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this. What an enormous bit.
Who's catching a stray now?
Somebody's catching a stray? Who's catching a stray, Brian?
That would be former Houston Rocket, the Chuckster, Charles Barkley.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Inside the NBA.
Yeah. On ESPN.
Yeah, yeah.
You got it?
Yeah. Let's hear Draymond Green. Well, he's basically being grilled on, like, them fading off into the sunset, the Warriors.
The aging Warriors.
Yeah, the aging Warriors. And this was his little comeback to Barkley and crew.
Nobody wins when they're 37-38.
But you said what you said. I want to hear if he believes what you're talking.
Yeah, I mean, I think the goal is just to not look like you in the Houston Rockets uniform.
Yeah.
That's the goal. That's the bar.
Is ultimately the goal for us? Like, we don't want to. What does that look like? Did you see it? I'm just asking. I saw it.
What do you think of this, Joe?
I think Draymond's trying too hard here to create something.
I think people are overreacting to this show.
Oh, like, definitely overreacting.
Like, people are like, you're disrespecting Charles Barkley. You have, like, Nick Wright talking about, like, Charles Barkley's career accolades and stuff. And, yeah, Charles Barkley way better than Draymond Green. There's no argument here. That entire show, the entire basis of that show is them ripping on people and making fun of each other.
Yeah,
that's the entire – that's why that show works. That's why that show's so good. They had Russini and Vrabel at the very tippity top of the Titanic. What's that area called on a ship? I'm not very smart with ships.
The bow.
Yeah.
I think.
They're right there on the bow.
Right.
They showed Russini and Vrabel at the bow. They show people going fishing. They all make fun of each other. Draymond Green gives Charles Barkley a little bit of a jab and people are losing their minds. Get out of here. That's the show where they do it on.
No, yeah. I don't get why people are
so
upset.
It's so ridiculous. How dare Draymond Green talk poorly about Charles Barkley? Do you see what Charles Barkley does on that show every day?
Yeah.
Charles Barkley probably tipped his cat, probably gave him a little attaboy during the commercial break.
How does Charles Barkley talk about San Antonio women?
Yeah.
How does he talk about Galveston?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Charles Barkley got a jab. He does that for a living.
Yeah.
If Charles Barkley being, and he wasn't, Barkley was not offended about this. People were offended about it for Charles Barkley, which is always funny to me when people get offended for somebody else who they're not even offended. If Charles Barkley got offended that Draymond Green was throwing like a shot his way, that would be like me getting offended that somebody throws a shot my way. I can't do that. You can't be the pot that caused the kettle black. So ridiculous that people were going at Draymond Green for having a little fun with Charles Barkley. Like, that's what the entire show is. Now, are they right that Barkley in a Rockets uniform was better than Draymond Green at any point of his career? Yeah. Yeah. They're also right. I have no problem with Draymond Green talking a little ish. You guys are charming soft.
Yeah, I got a problem with it. I just think he was trying too hard to land the joke there.
Yeah, you can tell that that's a valid take. I agree with you on that. Yeah, you can tell that he had thought about it already.
Yeah, it's not like it's almost like he's like, I know I'm going to get dogged on for the way our season goes, and the only thing I got is to talk about Chuck when he was with the Rockets. So that's my only criticism of it was I thought it was just poor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt rehearsed.
Yeah. Like, no one should be upset with that. Like, Charles Barkley's not upset.
And the amount of people that are upset about was ridiculous. I saw Nick Wright go off on it. I think there was Houston Chronicle writers going off on it. Bro, Charles Barkley's the biggest trash talker that exists. Charles Barkley getting a little bit of trash talk ain't going to kill nobody. Relax.
Yeah.
Calm down. Now, was it a cheesy joke? Was he trying too hard? That's an argument that I'm here for. And I hate Draymond Green. Like, this isn't a Draymond Green thing. This is get off your high horse. That entire show was them mocking people. It's ridiculous. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Junkie says, I'm sorry, but Draymond sounded like a complete idiot. That's fine. They sound like a complete idiot, but he can make fun of the guy. Not because he took a jab, but because he was totally inaccurate and his joke didn't land. I mean, a lot of people do make fun of Barkley's tenure with the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the first time that somebody's made fun of Barkley's tenure with the argument with the Rockets. Did y'all hear at the beginning of the segment, he was pretty much disrespecting Draymond Green and the Warriors the entire time. I did. He was basically calling them old and their championship window being over and all of that. People getting upset, like Lance getting upset over his dumb AI glasses. I also don't think Draymond Green was offended by the way that Barkley was talking to him, and I don't think Barkley was offended by the way Draymond Green talked to him. And they weren't contentious. They were just jabbing each other.
Yeah. Look, Draymond's acknowledged that like, the run's probably over and Steve Kerr's leaving.
Yeah. Listening to Draymond was cringe. That's fair. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Granato's talking a lot about Jeff Luno these last couple of days. Mentioned him today. Mentioned him yesterday. Is there something here? And also, I do think that Jeff Luno's return as the Astros GM is too unrealistic. Would you be open to a James Click return, though? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.
Are you a parent who feels guilty about screen time?
No.
No, not you, sweetheart. But your mommy and daddy do. Because too many apps are filled with AI garbage, inappropriate videos, and random content.
Like a dancing potato.
Or worse. That's what parents worry about. We're Lingo Kids, the number one entertainment platform for young kids. Because kids love it, and parents can trust it. They want songs, videos, and interactive games that are safe.
And fun.
And fun.
Lingo Kids!
Everything kids love,